another episode of Watch the Game, presented by the Nation Network. I'm your host, Sam Blazer, and for the first time in a long time, I am joined by my co-hosts, Cam Lewis and Adam Lascaris. Adam, how you doing today?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good. Cam, shove it. I think what we can start off with is the Sidney Crosby news.
Am I not allowed to introduce myself?
No. I just skipped
my introduction.
No, I just said Cam, shove it. So wow. you don't get to say anything.
You buried me into a box in the basement for the past 2 months and didn't allow me to come onto the podcast, and that's how you introduced me.
Is that what happened? I'm busy all the time. You know,
stuffed
I'm a big
into a crate.
I'm a big Nation Network star now. Wow. Let's talk about the Sidney Crosby stuff, though. What do you say, guys? The star was knocked out of game three of the playoffs against the Capitals. What I want to know about you, from you guys, is what you thought of the hit, what you thought about the intent, and what do you think about the aftermath overall? Cam, let's start with you, and I want to hear what you have to say about everything that's going on with that BS.
I think there was definitely some amount of intent in regards to the fact that they knew Crosby is the best player and he's the game changer in the series, but I don't think there's some conspiracy that many are suggesting that they drew up a big play inside the room and somebody stepped up and they're like, oh, I'm going to take his head off and do this. I think Matt Niskanen saw an opportunity to like really level Crosby and rattle his cage. I don't think he wanted to, you know, kill him and do that, considering the two used to be teammates at one point in time. So I don't think there's that much bad blood. I think there's enough of a hockey brotherhood there that he's not like, oh, you know, Sidney Crosby's had, you know, 7 concussions in the past. I better give him this last one so he has to retire so that we can finally get over the hump. Because now, even if Washington does win this series and they do go on to win the Stanley Cup, there's always going to be an asterisk right next to it. It's always going to be the Stanley Cup that was won by the Capitals because they, like, killed Sidney Crosby, and that's really fucked up. And it won't be the Stanley Cup that I think the franchise wanted.
Interesting. Adam, what are your thoughts?
I think the one thing, though, is like if the Capitals were to go on to win the Cup, I don't think too many people in Washington would be too upset about it. I think it would be, I don't know, it would be really annoying on Twitter because that would probably go around a fair bit. I think Cam like hit it on the head pretty hard. I don't think there was obviously any conspiracy. It would be pretty bad coaching if that was your conspiracy and you pulled it off in game 3 of the series after going down 2-0 and that was your big ploy. I mean, if you really wanted to injure Sidney Crosby, I don't know why you wouldn't do it in game 1. Just saying, it just seems like an unnecessary move to lose your first 2 games at home. I don't know. Like, obviously, unfortunate play. I'm sure Niskanen kind of threw his hands up. But if any player was to say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to go out on any given day in 2017 and give another guy a concussion, especially, you know, the game's biggest star, former teammate, you know, guy with concussion history, I don't see why any NHL player would be inclined to do that.
Yeah, I don't think that's, like, the inclination there. What's really weird to me is that we see, like, these, like, slow motion things. We see these, like, screenshots. And then, like, we try to, like, treat it, like, as if it's, like, the grassy knoll or something where it's, like, this is the exact moment where Matt Niskanen decided to behead Sidney Crosby. And I'm kind of – my thought process is when you watch the play live, it happens so fast. I have no idea how Matt Niskanen could, you know, do any of that premeditated. And I think the thought is that I think there's some bracing. I think there's also, like, you know, hey, this is open season here a little bit. I think that anything anymore in any league, there shouldn't be any headshots. There should be some sort of penalty. The suspension, everything else, you know, I really don't know where to draw the line there, because I really can't draw intent there. I at least me personally, I can't. But you also don't want to see Sidney Crosby injured. I don't like the Penguins in any way, shape, or form, but I don't want, you know, like, their best player to be injured. That's like ridiculous and, you know, short-sighted. I think that overall, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. A question I want to ask you guys is, what do you think? Do you think if the Capitals go on and win this series, are they going to, you know, feel like any less that, like, from moving on since they did it, like, they beat a team without Sidney Crosby? Or do you think that no one will really give a crap and this is just a win's a win is a win is a win? What do you think, Cam?
Well, I mean, I'm like Adam said after my point originally, I'm sure they don't give a fuck. Like, if they win, then they win. Like, Alex Ovechkin needs the Stanley Cup to not go down as, you know, one of those very good players that never won. You don't mind, you don't want to be that guy that when like,
Connor McDavid.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you don't want to be that guy that when they're I mean, I'm just shocked that you even felt the need with that one, considering the Oilers are obviously going to come out of the Western Conference this year. Meanwhile, the Leafs are hanging up banners for winning Game 2 and Game 3 of the first round, which is a pretty cool thing to do. I guess that 50-year anniversary thing the other day was really fun, too. But anyways, I don't think anyone in the Caps really gives a shit. I think they're just going to be happy to win, as are their fans, but everybody else is just going to think of this as, okay, you had to, you know, gutter Sidney Crosby to do this. You still aren't the good team. It's like how people forget that the Carolina Hurricanes ever won a Stanley Cup because just like, who cares, right? It's not like you actually beat one of the really good teams. You beat, you know, the 2006 Oilers in the finals. It's kind of more random than, it's not going to go down as like a historical thing now. It's going to have that asterisk next to it.
I guess so. Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like we've been saying. I also don't know how many people really will be throwing like the asterisk up there. Just knowing, I mean, there is obviously a large and vocal contingent of the hockey fan base that, you know, will be pointing that out. But I think there's, for every person that dislikes, you know, Ovechkin or dislikes the Capitals or disrespects them, there's also like a lot of smart people who will be like, man, this guy's, you know, arguably the greatest goal scorer of all time. Definitely, you know, puts up like a point per game every playoffs, you know, is one of the most, like one of the best snipers of his generation. So I don't think there's too many people that'll really see too much of a problem with it. I think you can make a case for sure that it's been a bit of a weak NHL this year. I think that, you know, there haven't been too many powerhouse teams. Definitely the Western Conference has been a total crapshoot. And in the East, you know, looking at the other half of the bracket where it's like the Rangers who are kind of like whatever and the Senators who are kind of whatever.
It sounds the second best Canadian team though.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. just the way it's working out. But
Adam did not want to give that to you whatsoever.
The Sens are the best team in Ontario.
Sure. Them and the Marlies. I think it's been weird the way that things have been working out this year.
No, I agree. That the entire way that the brackets are set up is just so odd and weird. But I want to ask you guys, as neutral observers in this series, who do you cheer for? Do you cheer for the Caps or do you cheer for the Penguins?
I'm definitely cheering for the Caps because I always like to see a team that's never won win before, like never won before win. But now it's kind of like now it just seems wrong. It just seems bad. It's like rather than, you know, Alex Ovechkin taking over a series and, you know, playing a phenomenal two or three games and winning something single-handedly, it's like, okay, they're going to beat like a limp dick Penguins squad and it's just not as cool. But I still would like to see the Capitals win, though it wouldn't be as nice as if they had just, you know, gone down 2-0 and come back and won the series in 7, then that would make just like a great ESPN 30 for 30 kind of thing, like battling the adversity and like finally getting over the hump. But now it just ruins the narrative. I know many people don't care for narratives, but if you enjoy that kind of like storyline hockey, then this kind of killed that. And now I'm just like, Caps, Pens, fuck either of them. Let's see like Nashville or somebody like that win, because that would very accurately summarize 2016-17 if like the Predators or the Senators or somebody like that won the Stanley Cup.
What if I told you that a slash to the back of Sidney Crosby's head catapulted the Caps to the championship?
That's then I would change be. The channel. I would change the channel immediately, and I'd watch one of the many debate shows on ESPN2 instead.
Preposterous! Preposterous! Adam, who do you cheer for as a neutral observer?
Yeah, I mean, don't really have a stake in the series either way. Have an outside chance of winning a hockey pool for like $800 if the Penguins go through and win everything, and like I don't know, like Tarasenko scores like 18 million points because I have him too, and McDavid, who's been a bit of a letdown, but that's okay. So unless that happens, I don't really care either way. Like Cam said, I mean, like having the new winner would be nice, and seeing Ovechkin finally win a cup would be nice, but it's been good enough hockey. I'm glad that all the series, you know, don't look like they're going to be sweeps, as far as I remember. There's only four of them. There's no sweeps, right? So I think it'll. I'm happy that.
I mean, we're only three games, so nobody's been swept.
Yeah. So
Adam's been paying attention to the hockey.
Do you even watch hockey?
No.
I'm really. Yeah,
you're the typical Leafs fan. There's only one team in the league, and then they're out, and it's over.
It's time for him to watch the game.
I want to watch William Nylander highlights and get mad about the idea of him possibly being traded for a number three defenseman.
I was writing about the last game of the Blue Jackets season today, and I was just thinking of like alternate universe where the Leafs didn't blow a 2-goal lead in the second period, that they would have taken over the Senators slot, and I'm thinking to myself, they look at it like what they would have, they their pathway would have been so damn easy.
Yeah, they definitely could have beat Boston and the Rangers, and they could have gone to the conference finals, and that would have just been hilarious.
Yeah, but and like that like just kind of just sums it all up. But of course, you know, that's not what happened. But real quick, I want to go over the picks that Adam and I had last time we were on. So Cam, you have to sit on the sidelines for this one.
Can I mock you guys?
Sure. Adam and I both got the Caps and Pens series right. We both got Bruins and Canadians wrong.
Wait, are you saying that you predicted the Penguins to beat the Columbus Blue Jackets?
That I did.
That's a tough one right there.
You're so funny, Cam.
Are they going to hang up a banner for that winning streak?
Are they
up a banner in the stadium? They're going to put it right next to the fifth line?
They fucking should.
Hell yeah!
Anyway, one thing on the Caps Leafs series that I remembered the day we were recording the podcast, I was making jokes. I was like, oh, you know, gotta watch out for Tom Wilson. And then the guy scored 3 goals in the series, so good series for him. But
Cam, did you know that Adam and Tom Wilson went to school together? Is that correct?
That is correct. He was a year older, but I played baseball with him for a season.
I thought you went to high school with Igor Ulanov's son.
That is also true.
Adam has many claims to fame, so you know he can't be pinned down in just one place. No, and then when you go to the Western Conference, Adam and I both picked the Preds. Adam picked the Blues. I picked the Wild. He picked the Ducks. I picked the Flames, and we both picked the Sharks.
What the fuck did you pick the Flames?
Because the Ducks are coached by Randy Carlyle.
The only reason the Flames are in the playoffs is because nobody else in the Western Conference like wanted to continue playing hockey this year.
I still think the Ducks are ass. So
the Flames, oh yeah, but I mean the Flames are like the epitome of why the NHL needs to tone back on how many teams are allowed to play in the playoffs. Like, that is not a fucking playoff team.
I mean, I liked them enough. I think that the problem was their goaltending. Their goaltending was just such dog shit. I like their defensemen. I like their forwards. I just think their goaltending just let them down over and over again. Elliott is a shell of himself. And so it's just absolute mess there. But
both picked the Sharks.
Yeah, we both picked the Sharks.
Which is foolish. You're not loyal to the oil like you should be.
Not loyal to the oil.
Loyal to the oil.
Let's talk about these series real quick. We talked about Caps Pens a little bit, but let's talk about the Eastern Conference series. Rangers, Senators, the game tonight. The Rangers kind of put a shellacking on the Senators. Rick Nash scores a goal. But the game before that, Jean-Gabriel Pageau scored 4 goals to put them over the Rangers. What do you think about this series? I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but I think it's kind of just... who really gives a shit series? I know that this is like, yeah, I'm supposed to give some objective analysis, but I don't think the Senators are that good, and I don't really think the Rangers are that good either. And I think whoever goes on and wins, it may very well get swept by either the Pens or the Caps in the Eastern Conference Finals. Do you guys feel similarly, or is there any difference in your opinions, Cam?
I disagree. I think the Senators are a fun team to watch. The Senators are like a very endearing team.
God,
I don't know why the Senators and the Oilers are viewed in a similar way, where I feel like we like to pretend to be objective and say, oh, you know, like we're basing our opinions on, you know, things that are true rather than just, you know, opinions. Oh, fuck, that's an ugly sentence. But what I'm getting at is that like people tell themselves like, oh, like, I'm being objective here, but really, you're just looking down on the Sens because they're the Sens. But, I mean, this team has, like, Erik Karlsson playing 30 minutes a night out of his mind. And, like, that's going to be, that can be like a game breaker, that can be a game changer. And it's fun to watch. I mean, even if they aren't that good, who cares? It's the playoffs. Like, I can throw like any odds or likelihoods or numbers out the window because it's just like madness, and it's more entertaining, I find, to watch it that way. And I think the Sens are the epitome in this playoffs of the team that could defy odds, which I think is something that we should enjoy more than we tend to do. I don't know. I think we're sticking our nose up at the Sens, and I don't know why. I think they're a fun team.
I will give them credit though with their depth. I think they have some pretty interesting depth throughout their lineup. I mean, they have some interesting. You know, I'm not a big fan of their defense outside of Carlson, but I do like, you know, Wingles. I do like Burrows. I do like Zingle. I think Smith's also pretty interesting to have in your bottom six as well.
You like Bobby Ryan because you're a Trump guy.
Oh, I love Bobby Ryan.
Noted Trump guy.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Right before the podcast comes on, he's screaming about the building a wall and... crazy.
Yeah, I'm really gonna enjoy this when like future employers listen to this and I'm gonna have to have a question in an interview and they go,
"Oh, don't worry. They heard my explanation of why the Senators are fun to watch and they stopped listening. They were like, what the fuck are these people talking about? I'm done." So you don't have to worry about that. You can talk about your Trump ideologies here. So it's all good.
Yeah, nobody listens to this anyway, right? No, I like the bottom six of the Senators a little bit more than others, but I mean, I still don't think that they're that great. I think, but also very similarly on the Rangers, they really should be much better than they are. And I mean, they keep dressing Tanner Glass. Their defense, I think, is kind of atrocious.
So bad.
And then, I mean, they have Nick Holden that they seem to play all the time. Dan Girardi. But I mean, they also have some interesting pieces on there. They have Brady Shea. They also have Brendan Smith. Ryan McDonough is always very solid. So I think whoever comes out of this is going to get swept. I just do, in the Eastern Conference Final. Adam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like the easy take to take, I guess, in a sense that, I mean, on paper, that seems like what probably should happen. And I don't really know why either the Capitals or the Penguins would lose that series. I think the Rangers would likely give themselves a better chance just because I think they're, you know, a bit more of a well-rounded team. Lundqvist, at his best, is a better goalie than Anderson at his best. Not by much, but you know, he's been having a bit of a rough couple years. Not a terrible couple years, but you know, rough by his standards. But at the same time, I don't see that one like for any logical reason going longer than five games. But at the same time, you know, sometimes things happen in the playoffs. You know, bounces go the wrong ways, and but if things work out like they probably should and probably will, I don't see that series, the winner of that series, challenging too much. But you know, we've been wrong before. I know in the first round there was this article that came out. There's this article that came out on The Athletic, and it was by Tyler Dello, and he wrote, I think that an actual senator from Ottawa would have a better chance of fighting a bear than the Senators would have beating the Bruins. And obviously that didn't work out for him. So I think it'll be interesting to see whatever happens in that series.
The Senators just seem to be, at least with Guy Boucher as their coach, they just are just breaking the mold. And I think it's a lot of it's system and the way that they're doing it. And a lot of it isn't necessarily the trap, but it's just the way that they're set up, that they're opportunistic. And and that's what I think is so interesting right now. I didn't get to talk about this much with the Caps-Penguins series, but it's very similar, is that, you know, all throughout the year, people want to talk about Corsi this, Corsi that, expected goals and all that. And obviously, in a one-game sample, it doesn't matter. But, you know, the Penguins have been getting outshot this entire playoffs, but it's like, now the Penguins are opportunistic. Now the Penguins, you know, are, you know, they have figured out Corsi. They know what it is. And I'm like, haven't we fucking heard this a million times before? But no one wants to talk about it whatsoever. It's like Mike Sullivan is a disciple of John Tortorella, and he's like preaching block shots, and no one is fucking saying anything about it. I'm like, so are we just going to let this happen? I mean, if everyone's so analytical, and that's like the way that everyone wants to lean now, but they're just going to completely ignore how the Penguins, you know, are not playing well at all. it blows my mind, and it just keeps end up being a narrative. But I mean, I think it's something that needs to be discussed. That, you know, at some point in time, you can't just choose a narrative to hold on to, and then just decide to throw out other ones. I think it needs to be even across the board. And if we're gonna criticize the Senators for one thing, you need to criticize the Penguins for it. If we're gonna criticize the Rangers for one thing, you need to criticize the Capitals for it. I just think it's honestly
incredible how many times you'll see a player that has like a 49.5 Corsi percentage and that player is ostracized compared to one who has a 51%. It's pretty incredible. But honestly, I feel like the analytics from following baseball is about finding market inefficiencies. And I feel like when the stats renaissance happened and shot attempts were all the rage, people were looking for those high volume shot players, and that was the high value. And those teams like the Kings were successful. But then I feel like when, you know, you bring your stats people on board and they do stuff behind the scenes we don't know about in the public sphere, I feel like they've found a market inefficiency beyond shot volume, and there's something that we're not seeing now. And as analytic people, I'm not talking about the three of us, obviously, but I'm talking about, like, you know, like the real stat heads have to start, you know, thinking, okay, what is it? Like, we're beyond the shot attempt here. Like, there's something else that teams have figured out and they're doing in order to be successful over 7-game sample sizes in the playoffs. Because, like, as we saw, the same thing with, like, I guess Minnesota St. Louis isn't the best example because Jake Allen played out of his mind. But, like, the Penguins, they're getting outshot consistently, like, significantly lower shot volume, but they're winning. And what is that? Is it just luck? I think that's lazy to say it's just luck, because that's not analytics. That's, you know, that's a cop-out.
True. It's just weird, I think, that in the playoffs, like, some of these narratives are either being forgotten or just not wanting to be espoused upon. So, who knows? I guess we don't really... I mean, I'm sure at some point in time when... the Penguins eventually lose, or if they keep going on, someone's going to be like, you know, they didn't game this. This is actually them, you know, regressing back to what they're supposed to be. But I'll be interested to see how hockey Twitter takes to it. Now, the other series, and you brought it up a little bit, Cam, was the Predators and Blues. The Predators, I mean, they just won again tonight. They're ahead 3-1 in the series. They are a really legit team. When I watch them, like, it is throughout their lineup, I just feel like there's really no weaknesses there. Maybe you could say on their fourth line, it's a little bit too much checking. You could maybe take advantage of it if, you know, you have a last change there. Adam, what do you think about this series, and what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously Jake Allen took over, like Cam said, but who's going to stop the Predators, and do you think it maybe the Oilers or Ducks in the next round?
Yeah, I think originally it might have been Shea Weber stopping them. No, that's just a terrible hockey Twitter joke. But
that's so bad.
They're a good team. Like we said, it goes back to, you know, other things you talked about. It's not exactly the strongest Western Conference, but, like, kudos to them for knocking off the Blackhawks in 4 games. And I think it's been... Like, yeah, they definitely have a really solid lineup. The PK Subban narrative about, I don't know, him being a clown or whatever and fighting Mike Milbury is already annoying me just because people are still talking about it. And it was, like, you know, one comment from, like, an old dude. But, I think they've looked pretty legit, for sure. They're still beatable. I know, like, Pekka has been playing really well, but at the same time, you know, a lot of people will tell you that he's not exactly the lead goaltender that people want you to believe. He's sort of in that Jonathan Quick range where sometimes he gets really hot, but then he's had some, you know, down years. I'm just going to pull up his stats right now. I just know that he's had a few years in the NHL where he's looked anything but great. Like, you know, 2 years ago, 66 games, he had a .908 save percentage. A couple years before that, he had a .910, .902. So, I mean, he hasn't always been that elite goaltender that people think he's been, but, like, this year in the playoffs, he's putting up a .953 coming into tonight, which is ridiculous. So
he's also been injured a lot in the past, and right now he's healthy, which is, like, a big key. I think that's one thing we forget with goalies is when they put up bad numbers, it's not just like, oh, this goalie is suddenly bad. Goalies are voodoo. It's like, no, there's a pretty good chance he's injured and he can't move, like, laterally.
Flexibility is a huge thing.
I mean, you know all about that, Sam, with Sergei Bobrovsky. It's not like he randomly got bad at hockey after his Vezina year. No, he got played a lot and he got hurt and he was tired. And then it took him like 2-3 years to come back. And then he was great again this year.
except in the playoffs.
Goalies are a lot like pitchers in baseball. Sometimes you have good years, sometimes you don't, and it's not that you forgot how to play. It's probably physical.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Adam, do you have any more to add on that?
Not too much, really. I know. I think it's like he's been up and down, and right now he's up, and they're leaning on him. Like not that he's the only guy that they're leaning on, but I think if Rene, you know, doesn't have a great, let's say, assuming they make it through to the conference finals, if he doesn't have a great conference finals, that could be their Achilles heel. But other than that, they seem to be firing all cylinders. They have the fun distinction of having a bunch of dudes who at the start of the year you kind of look at them and you go like, oh, Arvidsson, I kind of remember that name. And then throughout the year, you know, has a good year. And they have a bunch of, you know, kind of not random names on their roster, but yeah, I guess random names on their roster. But they've been pulling through for sure. So I'll give a hand clap to them.
Ooh, a hand clap. One hand clap from Adam Lascaris. Cam, I want to know how many hand claps you give this series thus far, and how many hand claps you'd give the Nashville Predators if they were to go on to the next round.
Yeah, the Preds are great. I mean, I don't know, speaking as an Oilers fan, I'm not excited for the Oilers to play them in the conference finals. And yes, the Oilers will be in the conference finals. I watched the Preds play Edmonton a few times this year, and they're fast, and they're gritty, and they're good, and their goaltending's, you know, sometimes really good. Their defense is phenomenal, and they have players up in the lineup that can score goals. I mean, they're a damn good team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won it all this year. They, like, massively underachieved this year. I mean, I don't know, it felt like they weren't going full speed all season, and they could have been better over that 82-game sample, but they weren't for whatever reason. But I think that right now, I don't know, I'm not sure if even Washington or Pittsburgh is going to beat them. But then again, it could just be the fact that they played a thoroughly underwhelming St. Louis and Chicago team, and the West is that bad. Maybe the East is just that much better. I don't know. Maybe we're getting caught up in this Nashville Predators hype, but I do think they'll come out of the West.
Oh, I'm totally on the Nashville Predators hype train. As of right now, I give them 3 claps out of 5.
I give them 420 claps.
Oh, shit. That is a lot of claps. That is a nice amount of claps. I like what they're doing right now, and I think that everything's coming together for them at the right time. And there's something to be said about peaking at the right time. I think a lot of people are like, you know, though it's just all kind of random. But I think if you can, you know, put it together, there's something to be said there. And I think that the way that their lineup is gelling is really, really nice right now. And so And obviously, you talk about your Oilers, Cam, and you say that they're moving on and going to beat the Ducks. But I want to know when Cam Talbot is going to spontaneously combust from playing 500 million hockey games in a row. Do you think that he's going to have like a huge letdown, or what do you think is going to end up happening with Cam Talbot?
He's already had his huge letdown. He had one in the San Jose.
He's only going to have one?
Of course. He had one in the San Jose series, kind of just mailed it in, took a breath, came back, and then he had one on Sunday. Have one on Sunday, take, you know, two days off, and then come back on Wednesday and be lights out again, and they'll win probably in 5 games.
Wow, that's such insane confidence. I mean, I'm not going to put you down for it. I love it, but
Cam doesn't even watch the Oilers, so.
I don't watch the Oilers. No, I don't.
He's not even a fan.
Let's be honest. Yeah, how can you beat a team that has Adam Larsson?
No. Larsson's Oilers.
That's
how many playoff goals does Taylor Hall have in his career, and how many playoff goals does Adam Larsson have in his career?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Statistics for you guys.
Huge if true. No, it's interesting because the Ducks, I mean, in the past they weren't necessarily slow, but they look so slow against this Oilers team. And I mean, and McDavid obviously is light years ahead, I think, of a lot of the best players on the Ducks, and so that's kind of an unfair matchup as it is. And then from there, you know, the Ducks are having to play catch up. And I mean, I picked the Sharks to beat them because I didn't think that they would be ready to take this next step, but they're obviously ready to take this next step. And I, you know, and I'm not sure if I'm a full on Cam Talbot believer just yet, and I still don't really like the defense all that much. But there's a lot to like about this Oilers team, and I think that they could end up putting up a good fight against the Predators. Adam, do you have? Are you going to tell Cam to shove it and that the
tell us
Ducks
about
are coming
their
back?
Tell us about the Oilers' depth.
No, we have. I think it's funny. Well, Cam and I actually have this bet that we made at the start of the playoffs that I had to buy an Oilers jersey if they made it to the conference finals. So,
oh shit.
originally it was supposed to be a jersey that said Coom Daddy 420 on the back, but
we found it
might be a little hard to get that printed, so then we passed it between about 7 different players, and we figured it'll probably just end up being a McDavid jersey, because it's like, you know, I like the guy a lot.
Chris Russell.
Yeah.
I have a bet, actually. I have a bet with Leafs Nation writer Evan Pressman, who won't stop fucking talking about Hall and Larson. I don't know. He wakes up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, and he's like, the Oilers traded Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. And he gets mad about it. Anyways, I was like, okay, man, look, if the Oilers go to the finals this year, you have to buy an Adam Larson jersey. And he said he would do it if they go to the finals.
So you're just setting up these bets everywhere.
Yeah, I'm just making bets. I want people to buy Oilers apparel and wear it around the streets of Toronto.
Well, that's like the other thing, if the Leafs win their first round series, which is just one, then Cam is going to have to buy a Leafs Jeff Fayette jersey. So that's,
who's the real winner here?
They didn't win that series, but it would have been pretty fun.
I got nervous after game three. I was like, oh fuck, like, I'm going to have to do this, and I'm going to have all these actually good truthers showing up at my door. It's gonna be terrible.
Yeah, it was funny. There was that bet, and then there was Manny Elk, who put out that he was gonna eat the infamous salad if the Leafs won the series. And then there was another person I saw who was a Capitals fan who said they would get a Leafs tattoo if the Leafs won the series. And none of those things came true, but you know,
I could never be so confident in a hockey team to do that. To even expect me to pay $30. I'm like, no, I can't do that. I don't believe in myself.
Hard to be a hockey fan, Columbus. Let's be honest.
I know exactly. It is. No, but Adam, I want to know. Do you think that the Oilers are going to move on, or do you think this is going to end up being a tighter series than it initially started out to be?
Yeah, I think it's funny because, like, I was talking to Cam. I made this, like, point to Cam earlier in the year that you, like, won't shut up about, where I said, like, just looking at the Oilers scoring, about how their depth is kind of, like, spread out in a weird way, how they have, like, two elite forwards and McDavid and Draisaitl. Like, they're just both so good. And then, like, you know, you get a drop-off after that. Like, you drop down, you go 100, and you go 77, like, just point totals. And then you go, like, 51-50. 43, 42, like, so you started, like, you see, like, a significant enough drop-off where, you know, it's, but at the same time, like, they've been pulling it through in the playoffs, and it's been weird because McDavid, who I thought was going to be putting up, like, 18 points in 9 games so far, like, he has 6, and, like, he looks good most nights, but at the same time, I think there was a part of me that kind of wanted him to look like he was playing junior hockey again, and, you know, put up, like, 2-3 points a night. Obviously, it was a bit of a pipe dream, but and just back to that goal he scored the other night, that was totally ridiculous. I don't understand what the defense was doing there, because he started skating basically outside of the zone. Like, you know, he's got to cut back at some point. Like, I don't know. Everyone seemed like they were, like, thrown off guard by it. I just, like, it's like he was playing, like, I don't know, like, tag or something, and then
it was their fuck it game. It was Cam Talbot's rest game. They're like, I'm surprised they even dressed him. Should I just throw Lambert SWAT out there and see what happens?
I don't know.
Give him that playoff experience.
Back to the point about the Oilers as a whole, I think if McDavid steps it up, and, you know, they have other guys who've been contributing, it'll be like, you know, they'll look a little bit better, and yeah, they can take the series in, you know, 5 or 6 games. Just the one thing that I noticed last week, I sent out a tweet about it. I think it was when they won their second game of the series. I think they had a goal differential in the entire playoffs of 0, which is strange because they're 6-2. And now I'm pretty sure they're running on. Now they're on a they had a 7-0 game in there, but it's just, like, weird the way the numbers work out. Now I'm pretty sure they're on a -3 goal differential, and they've still won 6 games and lost 3. So. I mean, it's been weird how they've been performing, considering they've just kind of been, you know, just getting ahead of the line. But at the same time, you know, if McDavid steps it up over the final, you know, 4 or 5 games of the series, it'll be something.
It is. I think it would be something.
There won't be 5 more games in the series. That would be 8 games. But anyway.
You know, I know you've been paying attention. I'm just, we're all just trying to test you real quick. Late at night. No, it is. We're recording this at like 1 a.m. on the East Coast, so this is, you know, not prime thinking time. Cam, what do you think of the narrative around Ryan Kessler supposedly being put on Connor McDavid and quote-unquote shutting him down? Do you think that this is like even a thing? But I always love that because they always put these like defensive forwards, quote-unquote Selke type forwards, and say that they're going to be able to shut down these offensive players. What do you think of that matchup thus far, and do you think that there's any merit to, like, you know, those kind of discussions?
I honestly think that it's like too difficult to line match like that. I mean, in away games it's virtually impossible with the home team having the last change, but I guess it's like, I don't know, I feel like it's like they tell Kessler before the game, all right, look, when you're on the ice with McDavid, give him a slash on the back of the shins and fuck him up a little and like let him know you're there, spook him out, and just like try and get in his head. Just like, that's the kind of thing. I don't think it's like, you know, skate around and make sure you can see him at all times and you're within stick distance, because Kessler's not that bad of a player. I mean, if your team's so, I mean, that's the thing that would happen in like junior hockey. It's like, okay, whoever's the left winger on this line has to follow around Connor McDavid, otherwise we're fucked. I mean, Kessler is a good enough player in his own right that he shouldn't just be relegated to shadowing a player. I mean, he can create offense and do things and make smart plays on his own. He doesn't need to be doing that kind of thing. And if he is, then that's, I don't know, I think that's personally kind of a bizarre strategy.
No, it is. I remember when McDavid played for the Otters, Cole Castles, who's now with the Canucks in their system, Paul Berthelot wrote a piece on this about how supposedly Castles shut down McDavid, but in reality McDavid still put up points. So what do you really consider shutting down a player? Or it's like when Dubinsky quote-unquote shut down Crosby like back in 2014, and he didn't have any goals, but he still had 6 points in 6 games, and like, so it's like he didn't shut him down. there's always this weird discussion and always weird you know, threshold, like it always ends up not necessarily being crossed, but you know, people want the idea of a shutdown player, but I think when you have such a good player, there's not even the idea of shutting them down. It's like hoping to contain them in some way, shape, or form, and I think doing that with McDavid's just such a hard
you just can't always be following a player on the ice. No. It doesn't lead to success.
It's not like the NBA, you know, like obviously with line changes and everything else, you can like try to force matchups, you can try to do stuff like that, but you just can't really do it in the NHL, especially with the way the line
changes. There's too much fluidity. You can't ISO a player in hockey.
No, not at all. But we talked about McDavid a little bit, and I want to transition to a little bit of awards talk before we get off the line here. Is there anything out of the nominees that you've seen thus far that's like really stuck out with you and really surprised you, Cam?
I think Carlson and Burns, I don't know, one or the other should have been nominated for the Hart Trophy, I think. I mean, I don't want to slander Bobrovsky at all, but I think there was more going on that Columbus team than his great goaltending, and I don't think the Sharks or the Senators would have been particularly good at all if they didn't have either Burns or Carlson, because they completely like controlled the team's offense. I think those two were snubbed. I don't know if both of them should have gotten a nomination, but I can't really differentiate between the two, but I think one of them at least should have been nominated in the final three.
Adam?
I hope Werenski wins the Calder Trophy. I think it would be really funny. And you know, it would just be really funny for the content.
That'd be so good.
I've had this discussion before, and I know it's happened in the MLB where people are being so spiteful to a player to try to get him not to win a trophy that it ends up, you know, a third or fourth person ends up coming up doing it. And I don't think the way that the votes work out that Werenski could do it, but I could totally see like Winnipeg media, like, you know, putting him as like the eighth person on there and he's not getting enough points, and then like the vice versa with like the Toronto media doing that lineup, because, you know, there's some sort of thing going on with the media. And it would just really, really crack me up if, like, through it all, like, Werenski with a bunch of, like, second-place votes ends up, you know, getting all of that. That would be funny to me.
Nikita Zaitsev ends up winning the award with his 7-year contract.
Oh, yeah, baby. Great contract, baby. No, that's goofy as hell. No, I agree with you a little bit about Bobrovsky. I think every single year you could probably give the Vezina winner the Hart. Because
it seems unfair. It's like the same thing in baseball with pitchers. It's like, come on, this is it's its own thing. They have their own award. Like, chill out. Like, I mean, it's so easy to just say that this goalie was, you know, so valuable. And I mean, they're not wrong, but it's like, I bet you there's like four or five goalies that are probably like individually more valuable than any skater on the team.
Counterpoint,
just because,
though,
just because of the nature of the position.
Counterpoint, though, on the you know, they have their own award. You also have like their goal scorer award. You also have these other, various other awards. So why could they not be in there? And so I mean, I'm just saying, I think you want to try to do that.
Awful.
There's something to be said about that. I think McDavid's going to end up winning that one. I don't see why he wouldn't. But I think Crosby has some claim in that as well, because if for whatever reason the Penguins are just absolutely get mauled by injuries every single year, and he's always carrying that team with, like, you know, a few AHLers that you have like no idea who they are, and you think that they're like a creative player on like an NHL 17 game. But and
Jake,
so I'm always, yeah, exactly. Jake Guentzel throwing a hat trick down on the Blue Jackets' ass.
He's, Evgeny Malkin, like, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, who the hell is this Evgeny Malkin guy? But, you know, he was injured for most of the year. Kessel was luckily healthy for a whole portion. But, I mean, heck, when you have these like good players, but they're not playing a whole lot at times, there's something you said there. But I think what McDavid did is pretty darn impressive, especially on hitting the 100-point plateau. I think any more, if you hit the 100-point plateau, almost like a triple-double in the NBA, almost what like Westbrook did, you kind of have to be like, okay, this probably should, you know, get almost be like an automatic award to you. I think hitting like triple digit and scoring anymore is going to be so insanely hard, unless like they change the game in some sort of way. Don't you guys?
4-on-4, no offsides.
Is that where you want it to go?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
What about you, Adam? What do you think? Do you think anybody like the triple digits going to still be as important as it has been in the past? Or do you think it's going to? Where do you think it's going?
Yeah, I mean, like I was thinking recently. I was writing an article and I was just trying to project like what scoring will be like in 5-10 years, which is obviously like next to impossible. But I think like we've sort of hit right now, like unless the NHL undergoes major rule changes, which I don't really think they should. I don't know. I always hear like these debates about like, oh, like what if you have to like bring in like newer fans and whatnot? I don't know if the newer fan in the NHL is like, oh, I saw 3.1 goals per game this year, but last year it was like 3.4. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like, the 100-point plateau though, for like, it will definitely be a challenge. It's definitely become increasingly harder. And I don't think that it'll get any easier unless the NHL does anything about it. But I also don't really think they should at the same time.
I think this is going to sound, you know, snooty and weird, but the fucking refs need to call the actual rule book. Like, interference.
They got to go back to 506, man. They got to go back to 506 where everything was a penalty. That was fucking awesome.
I mean,
Joe Thornton putting up 96 assists, 77 of them are on the power play. It's good times. They got to do that shit. That was fun.
I mean, they can allow some people.
I'm going to check those numbers right now. But anyway, continue.
No, but people are saying, like, well, interference happens every single play. And when you look at it, someone dumps in. The guy gets immediately pushed away from the play 2 seconds after he releases the puck, and you're like, "All right, that is interference." It'll get called in the regular season, you know, 1 out of 20 times, and you go, "I don't understand anymore." This
I don't
this
watch
is supposed
the game,
to be.
So I wouldn't know.
Did you fact check me yet? Did you fact check me? Was I right?
On the page. You said
it was 96 assists in all situations, and I think 77 were on the power play.
All right, well, you made up those numbers completely, but anyway.
06 was I close?
Was, well, okay, 06, 07, or, okay, no.
It was
96 assists in 506. That was the year he got traded. He had 40 of them on the power play.
Oh fuck!
56
of these things. So, I mean, I was half right. 96 is that was a good halfway there, but the other one was
77 power
fake
plays.
News, was, fake was, news.
Oh,
77 power plays.
Just
for some context. Just for some context.
Alternative
77
facts.
Power plays. He would have had more points than Draisaitl had all year this year, which would just be absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, he won the Hart Trophy that year. I think he was the only player that year. Or only player ever to win a Hart Trophy and get traded in the same year. Could be wrong, but it might happen like Yager or something.
No, you're right.
Anyway. This is why everyone listens to this podcast, for us to be continuously wrong over and over and over again.
We just navigate through hockey reference and, like, repeat what we're looking at.
It's great. It's great listening.
Like, walk through his opinion of how to make hockey better, and we're just like, Joe Thornton had 96 assists in 2005-06. This is informed up.
No, hey, I enjoy it. I don't mind it one bit.
And he was a plus 31. So.
Ooh, plus minus 31.
Therefore, your opinion means nothing. Kisses.
No, yeah, I think that they really should go back to that. Don't you think that if they actually called the rule book, it would make a lot more sense? But you'd also
have one player on the ice has to be wearing rollerblades.
Ooh, that's also a pretty good one. But I mean, I think in all seriousness, when you think about it, if they actually called it, about half the game would be on the power play. Is that good for the game, or is that bad for the game?
Shit.
Sure, why not? I don't know. Just like flip a coin at the start of every period, and like one team, if you lose, you're on the power play. I don't know. Or if you win, you're on
the power play. Get rid of the ice and the puck and the sticks and replace it with like a
pizza.
Football.
Some goalposts. And then we can have like headshots all the same. It'd be great, right? It'd be fun, and we could call it a football. Now, I don't know. It's so weird anymore trying to like think about like what could make this game better. What could
more
appeal.
Podcasts?
Yeah, exactly. We're another hockey podcast, one of like a million out there, and we are also rank 1 million in listeners. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to do this. No, I
have fun.
I know we have fun. I'm glad that we actually got back together and do this. We'll have to do it more often. But Cam's so busy. He's a Nation Network.
I'm not busy at all.
Dude, you're a Nation Network scab, man. You know, you're...
Do I even have a job title?
What is your job title?
I don't have a fucking job title.
Are you...
You're the utility man?
I call myself the utility player.
He's a maintenance worker.
Sure.
He's there.
He mows the lawn, if you know what I mean.
I don't. But I'm not gonna ask any more questions. Cam, Adam, before I let you guys go, do you have anything you want to plug? You want to talk about?
I have a very important stat I just discovered, because I was trying to compare Joe Thornton's shots on goal career to Connor McDavid's. Connor McDavid has already surpassed his career high, but this year Connor McDavid attempted 420 shots on net, but just 420 shots, so individual Corsi, whatever you want to call it, but he attempted 420 of those. So that's important.
I know what Cam's tweeting after this.
Yeah, I should tweet that at the NHL numbers account at like 4 a.m. and just be like, that's what I'm up to.
That's 420. Just schedule it. That would be pretty funny.
If you guys want to know what I'm thinking about, this is what I'm thinking.
Oh, fuck. No, I'll definitely tweet that. I should have tweeted that on it. Ah, damn, you should have figured that out like 2 weeks ago, and I could have done that on April
20th. I'm sorry, but...
It's some community relations, my ass. You idiot.
Community relations. So anyway, do you guys have anything you want to plug before we get off?
Cam's really obsessed with watching 13 Reasons Why.
I finished up 13 Reasons Why. You guys finish it up yet?
Yeah, I finished that like not this like Sunday a few days ago, but the Sunday before that. So I'm like a week.
Yeah, we watched the finale together, and I think Cam was crying.
No, you
actually
were crying.
He cried episode 12 more.
No, I cried. I didn't cry during the finale. The most emotional episode was when Khalil listened to his tape. Obviously,
dude. Oh, yeah. Obviously.
But I can't tell you what episode that was. In case there's any people who haven't. Watch.
Yeah, we don't want to give away spoilers. Let's not be shitty.
Yeah, we won't give away spoilers to 13 Reasons Why, the show that's been out for nearly a month. And...
Also, the show that tells you what happens at the very beginning of the show. And let me tell you, it fucking happens.
She goes through.
Not. She
does end up going through with it. There's no spoilers there. So 13 Reasons Why is what you want to plug, Adam. Cam would.
I thought Cam would want to plug it because he texts me about it every day, despite the fact we finished it like 9 days ago. But anyway,
is this true?
Yeah, no.
No, it's not.
We
don't fucking talk. That's not true.
I don't know. There's a new episode of Riverdale in 2 days. One day for If You're American. I don't know if you watch that. Please don't. Yeah,
That's it.
Not too much else for me.
Not bad, not bad. Cam, what do you like? What would you like to plug?
13 Reasons Why. No.
After all of that,
I don't know. The Jays were on a 3-game winning streak until tonight. It's been okay. It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be fine. Are they gonna make the playoffs?
No, but they'll finish at or above 500.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm kind of interested in their season just because the way I follow enough people in Toronto where like they think the sky is falling, that I'm now kind of like interested like tangentially. I'm like, whatever. I'm pretty whatever about the Jays, but now I'm kind of following along. And of course, you retweet a fair amount from Jays Nation, so I'm always never following along. Never heard of it. Interesting. You don't even want to give them a plug. That's fine. That's fine. Well, you can follow Adam at Adam_Lascaris. You can follow Cam at Coom. You can follow me at Sam_Blazer for Adam Lascaris and Cam Lewis.
When are you guys going to join me at 1,000 followers?
Oh, this is not going to be a discussion right now because we're going to... We'd end up going over an hour.
Away.
I am 47 away. So
I'm going to go unfollow you right away.
I'd appreciate that.
I'm
going to
unfollow you from the NHL numbers account too.
Dude, I've been losing followers recently, like left and right. I lost like 8 followers.
That's because you don't got the tweets.
I just
retweeted a bunch.
Can I plug
one more thing?
Sure.
I'm going to plug one more thing right now.
Sure.
Greg Sinclair at the Ninja Greg, one of the funniest people I follow. I don't know why. He gets my sense of humor. He had just posted right now on Twitter that he's making grilled cheese, but all he did was stick a full unopened box or like a not a box, a block of cheese in the toaster.
And that's fucking
disgusting.
It looks
really funny. I don't think he's actually eating it, but I'm laughing really hard at it. Anyway,
that's a good
plug.
With
that being said,
delete this.
I think that's it for me.
Fantastic. For Adam Lascaris and Cam Lewis, I'm Sam Blazer. Until next time, bye.